So, fiddle me this. It's been said that baseball is America's favorite pastime, and that it's tough to argue. Baseball should hold a place in the heart of every American. So should fiddling. Since its arrival on this side of the pond, fiddle music has been passed down mother to son, friend to foe, south to north, east to west, and every nook and cranny along the way. Tunes take on new meanings, new names, new feels from person to person. Shaped by local community and purpose and region, fiddle music truly captures the spirit of a people. Across America, we can hear this tradition. I'm JT, and these are some of today's fiddlers playing their tunes and sharing tales. Welcome to Fiddle Me This.
Headed back to Boston, gotta catch that gal before she leaves. Leaving on that train, headed out of town. Her blue eyes and her brown hair, she's the sweetest thing you ever did meet. I could take her for my own back in Boston town.
Hello everyone, this is Fiddlin' Doug Fleener. You may have heard me here on Fiddle Me This before. Today, we get the honor of listening to our very own J.T. Trawick, normally known as world-renowned guitar accompanist. He'll be playing some tunes passed down from his grandfather, and then to his father, and then to him. So you'll be hearing some classic fiddling here today. Some real old-time, genuine, traditional music. I hope you enjoy.
Welcome to Fiddle Me This. This is producer Liam Flanagan. We're doing a special edition of Fiddle Me This today in which our host, JT, will be the man in the hot seat, the guy getting the interview, you know?
The seat's getting really hot already.
Yeah, I bet. So I'm going to start the show as JT likes to start his when he does the show, and that's play us a tune.
Woo! You weren't kidding, this is a hot seat.
There you have it. What was the name of that song?
That's called Polk County Breakdown. I learned that from my buddy Pete Howard.
How old is that tune, you think?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I don't know where that tune originally comes from. I know they play it for dances in Northwest Arkansas and Southern Missouri and whatnot. And it's played a little bit in Texas. Matt Hart's recorded it back in the 90s with Royce and Ray Franklin and put it on an album, and I know a lot of people learned it from that too. So,
awesome. It's a nice little tune. Who you got in there with you, JT?
Well, I got a couple guitar players with me. I got Vi over here on my left, and I got Doug, Fiddling Doug, on my right.
Fiddling Doug Fleener, a guest of the show.
A guest of the show.
Yes, indeed. Yep. Happy to be on here to support you.
Yeah, man, I'm stoked to have y'all here too. I couldn't do this without y'all.
So tell us a little bit about yourself there, JT. Like tell us about your family and your upbringing. I think that has a lot to do with your love of the fiddle, yes?
Sure, yeah. Well, my grandpa is my biggest influence musically, and he's the reason I do all this stuff. I didn't get to know him very well, though. He passed when I was probably about 8, 9 years old. Mm-hmm. But he played fiddle, and then, of course, I learned the whole reason I started playing was to back up my dad, play at fiddle contests or whatever, weddings.
You would play guitar for your dad?
Yeah, and that's how I learned. I just wanted to hang out with him a little bit more, and, well, now here I am halfway across the country.
So, yeah, what was your father's name? Like, what, and is he a pretty famous fiddler, or...
No, well, he was famous to me in that, you know, he was the one I heard playing growing up, you know.
Right.
His name is Tim, my dad, and then his dad was Kay, mm-hmm. Trawick, that's my grandpa. And he was married to Vita Joe.
Well, do you remember, do you have any tunes, any family tunes that you want to...
Well,
that,
sure.
That you brought?
I learned, my dad, or my aunt, I think, maybe sent a recording of some of that my grandpa had recorded probably when he was, I don't know, it was a long time ago, and it had his mom talking in it and telling about riding a train from Kentucky, where they lived at the time, to Arkansas. So they migrated from Kentucky. That's where you're from, Doug.
Mm-hmm.
They migrated from your country to
just
my
remind
country.
You, Doug. That's where you're from.
That's where you're from. Anyway, he played some tunes on there, and he played this one on there, and I kind of learned it and did some of my own stuff with it. Maybe I'll do it solo because that's kind of how he did it. So I'll do this one without backup.
All right. That tune called?
I believe that's called the 8th of January.
8th of January.
That's how he'd done it anyway. I don't know what he called it. But.
So, aside from the family connection, what do you think what do you think attracts you to the fiddle and to fiddling music and the fiddling community?
Well, that's I started playing to get closer to my dad because I wasn't hanging out with him as much. He's played catch with him, you know. But and then I started meeting some people and just getting ate up with it, you know. There were some fiddle contests and festivals around where I grew up, and some pretty dang good fiddle players that a lot more famous than my dad or my grandpa were, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, played professionally, some of them, but all of them just ate up with fiddle tunes and fiddle music around that part of the country. It's an interesting mix of, and there's a lot of cool stuff. And you know, I met guys like Timmy Crouch and Junior Marriott, and they really set me down and showed me, you know, I'd just be the last guitar player standing, you know, and they didn't have no option but to tell me how they wanted it played. and I learned a lot that way.
Yeah.
You know, just cause, and I just wanted to sit there and do it, you know. Wasn't too many people wanted to sit there and play rhythm guitar all day long, but
you did.
I did, yeah. I don't know why. I guess maybe, you know, I felt connected to my grandpa somehow because he played, and I always wanted to.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe when I was younger, if I started playing fiddle, I don't know.
You'd be one of the great ones, I think. Well, how long have you been playing the fiddle?
Oh, I've been playing it, picking it up off and on over the years, but I don't know. I just found a lot of enjoyment out of playing it through this whole COVID time, you know. I found this fiddle just around the corner here off of 48th, and my buddy Mike Kirkendall, who you know,
mm-hmm.
He owned this fiddle for a long time, and it was given to him by his neighbor.
Huh.
And it sat here in Portland, just a couple blocks down the road for a long time. And so I went over there and got this from him a couple months ago, and I've been playing it ever since. He told me to get the music out of it, so that's what I'm trying to do.
Nice. And are you writing stuff on it?
I am.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you have any stuff that you've written that you want to play?
Sure. Well, we played, we'll do that. We'll try this John and Annie's.
Is there a reason it's called John and Annie's Tune?
Well, we've been doing this podcast, and John and Annie were guests on it, and I've known them for several years since I moved out here, and since I've been sitting around playing this fiddle during COVID, I happened to be tuned in on one of their live streams on Facebook that they do every week, I guess,
mm-hmm.
and something in there, I don't know, a lick she played or something, kind of got going around in my head, and I had that fiddle, and the rest of it kind of fell out.
Yeah.
And then it was super cool because they got to be guests on the show after that, and that was before we'd confirmed a date or made sure that they were going to be able to do it. But then they were able to do it, and I got to play it for them, and that was cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good episode.
Yeah.
It's fun.
That was a lot of fun.
So you're the logo for Fiddle Me This is a fiddling Sasquatch, and I was wondering if we found that Sasquatch, what kind of tunes do you think he'd play?
I think that's a great question. I bet he's probably the best fiddle player anybody's never heard, you know.
Mm-hmm. Best Sasquatch fiddle player by far.
Yeah. It probably sounds something like this here.
Yeah, I like it. Experimental fiddle.
Except maybe a little bit better.
It's the best one we never heard.
You ain't gonna hear the rest of that one either. I got these headphones on. This thing. That don't sound so bad.
No.
We could try this other tune. It's called Whompin' on a G String.
Yeah.
Don't make me laugh. Just play this one straight. You can throw that quick D or just a run in on the back, but don't run through the four like we normally do, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah. Just hard driving dance sort of thing.
This was funded in part by Bubbaville, a nonprofit dedicated to the educational and cultural enrichment of the Portland metro region through traditional music and dance. A staple on the West Coast, the Portland Old Time Gathering has been going for more than 20 years and brings national and regional American traditional musicians together. Go to bubbaguitar.com for more information. Thanks, Bubbaville, for sponsoring Fiddle Me This.
Hi, folks. It's Podland's number one producer, Liam Flanagan, and I just want to let you know about sponsors. If you're a business owner or manager and you are looking for a great way to get your product out there, becoming a podcast sponsor is just that. Podcasts are listened to all over the world. Podland has had visits from places like Kenya, Ireland, Australia, Vietnam, and almost all 50 states. What's up, Alaska? Don't you like podcasts? Anyway, becoming a podcast sponsor could be the way to give your business the boost it may need. To become a Podland podcast sponsor, contact me, Liam Flanagan, at liam@podland.productions. That's liam@podland.productions.
I got to go to this camp out right before all the weather and hit. Right before the fires hit, actually went up to Mount Hood, up to Zigzag, and they had this little, everybody got together and played a bunch of tunes.
Yeah,
and they do it every year up there, apparently, but it was a lot of fun. We stayed in a yurt and played tunes. Some people camped. Some people slept in their cars. Doug stayed home. but we had a lot of fun, and this is a tune I got to jam with a lot of local people and play fiddle, and I learned a tune while I was there from them. I learned this from one of the jams. It's called, I believe it's called Lowry's Quadrille. Thank you. they done this little plucking thing at the end of it, and I still ain't got that part right. It's a cool tune. It's fun to play anyhow.
What was the name of it?
Lowry's Quadrille or something like that, I think.
Mm-hmm. Real nice.
Yeah. It's weird it's being a quadrille because it's a three-part tune.
Mm.
But I think it has to do with the name of the dance, because back in the days they used to have a dance called a quadrille, or it was a type of dance. And there were, it's kind of like a square dance, I guess. There's a book on it that my buddy Clark Buehling loaned to me a long time ago, and I think I've still got it. Maybe I should go back and reference it, but I'm still not entirely sure what a quadrille is. But
yeah,
maybe it's time to relearn some of these old American traditions.
You should.
I can square dance all night, though.
Do you play square dances, or have you played square dances
sure.
in the past?
Sure, yeah. In fact, was able to call a few last summer.
Mm-hmm.
But square dances are my favorite. I sure love doing square dances.
Yeah.
This year, you know, most things have been called off, unfortunately, but eager to get back to that.
Yeah, I remember doing square dancing in like middle school or something, and but to this day I have this one part from one of the old records, but it was, "Here's Sally, here's Sue, here's the girl who came with you."
Well,
I love it.
Yeah. Did you ever do it with a live band there in high school, middle
school?
Oh,
no. It was, I mean, this was like, yeah, this is, no, there was no live bands in Chico, California, you know.
Chico, that's right.
Yeah.
We didn't have live bands in Idaho either.
Yeah.
When I was in there.
Well, I feel like, you're not the only person who said that. In fact, a lot of times I'll get calls from people saying, well, I did it, and they don't know what to expect, you know, but it makes it, it's part of a, you know, if there's a fiddle around, well, there's your entertainment. You mm-hmm. know, now all you got to do is find somebody who can play it, and you go off on a dance, you know. And it's, you know, it's, there's no reason. It's still live. People still do it, you know.
Yeah.
It's a magical thing to have a, you know, fiddle band that can play a square dance and a caller that can call a dance. And, you know, the dances are simple. You teach them right before you go. You walk everybody through them. And then you go to town. And
you just got to teach them what a do-si-do is. And
yeah.
All that.
Yeah, yeah. It's not that difficult, especially when you get – there's a lot of good callers around here that can teach them really well.
Them,
and they're real patient.
Well, maybe when after all this is, you know, after the COVID, I'm going to get into square dancing.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, my wife and I are going to start doing square dancing.
Well, come on. I'll take you sometime. We'll go.
All right. Well, let's see. I did have some other questions. How many fiddlers does it take to screw in a light bulb?
Well, I've never personally screwed in a light bulb, so I wouldn't know the answer to that.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty close. It's none. Fiddlers screw in the woods.
All right, here's Woody's rag. Yeah. Morgan's Hornpipe, something like that. I don't know. Call Pete Howard, blame him.
All right, we'll get him on the horn. So music, you know, music affects everybody differently and whatnot. And in these times that we're living in, how do you use music to cope with your everyday, with the everyday life?
Well, that's a great question. It's just, you know, when you can tune everything out and just get into the, you know, and really focus on one note at a time, and just, it resonates, you know, and this fiddle, it shoots it right up into your head, and it just, there's something about it way more satisfying than being on a phone or playing games on the computer or whatever, just because it, but it takes a little bit more effort. And so at first glance, you know, it's like, oh crap, I got to get those things out and tune them. And, you know, I got to take them down off the wall or take them out of the case. Seems like it takes a lot of that. But once you get past all that, and this thing is kind of the pain in the butt, the pegs slip, mm-hmm. and I don't have fine tuners. So, but at the end of the day, it's always worth it. I always feel a lot better when I get it out, tune it up, and just play, you know.
Yeah.
For me, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
I do have to ask, because throughout this podcast, you've been asking every guest that we've had who their favorite dead fiddler is, and it did get turned on you, but you avoided the question. So I have to ask.
That's true.
Who is your favorite dead fiddler?
My favorite dead fiddle player. Well, you know, it had to be my grandpa, for sure. You know, just somehow feels connected to him by getting to do this. And you know, I've still got some recordings I like to dig in there and try to learn that were his, you know, and he played them a certain way, and I love trying to get to learn them that way and just figure it out, you know. And it's like Doug said, it's healing to just sit around and try to figure it out, because it takes a little effort, but then once you get there, the reward is great, you know.
Yeah.
It ain't about playing for anybody but yourself at the end of the day. And it's cool when other people resonate and are grateful for, and you get to where, you know, people enjoy listening to your music and they're like, oh, that was refreshing, can we hear more? And that always feels good. But at the end of the day, it's just, you know, for me, playing for myself, that's the best.
Yeah. Well, I think we have time for another tune.
All right. Let's try this.
Thank you.
That was great.
That was great.
Yeah, that was great. Well, thanks for doing this, JT. What a fun episode.
Yeah.
We've got to learn a little bit more about you.
Well.
Yeah.
I reckon so.
Yeah. So, thanks for coming by.
Well, thanks for having me. This seat's fortunately getting a lot cooler now, so.
Yeah, I bet.
I'm not sweating as much.
That's what happens when it comes to the end.
Yeah, man.
Hey, y'all. Thanks for listening in today. We sure had a lot of fun. Thanks to Doug. Thanks to Vi for backing me up on guitars. Thanks to Liam for stepping in and being such a great host. Total pro. Check him out at podland.productions if you need a podcast. Also, if you're enjoying the show, we're about halfway through. Maybe a little bit more. We're going right up till Christmas. So we appreciate you all listening, all the shares and all the reviews we've been getting. Can't do this without you. So thank you so very much. Looking forward to the next one. Catch y'all next week.
Did something in this episode move you? Leave us a review or comment. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook for more behind-the-scenes content. This has been a Podland production in association with Vita Joe Records and Bubbaville. I'm JT. We'll be back next week with another episode of Fiddle Me This. Thanks for listening.
This has been a Podland Productions production, recorded at Downstairs Studio in Portland, Oregon. For more information on Podland and for more Podland podcasts, go to podland.productions. While you're there, subscribe to the email newsletter for sneak peeks, giveaways, and more. Thanks for listening.
Podland Productions.